It's an absolute privilege to welcome back to the show the president of Education Minnesota, Denise Speck. She's kind enough to join us today to talk about the status of teachers in the state of Minnesota. Denise, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The story that was out in the Star Tribune, as long as some other stories that have come out, I think KSTP had a story as well, talks about this has been an incredibly rough year so far for teachers in Minnesota.
Oh, my goodness. It certainly has. You know, this is the third academic year that has been affected by COVID. So that's a lot. But I know that most educators, students, and parents started this academic year thinking, this is going to be it. It's going to be better. We're kind of turning the corner here. And I wish I had better news, but things are not good in our schools. Educators are at the breaking point. And as I go out and hear stories all over the state, it is super painful to hear how things are going for them right now.
It's what is interesting, and there's a lot of things, and obviously one of the things we've seen a lot of is angry parents screaming at teachers about face masks and mandates. I'll get to that in a little bit, but let's just talk the practicality of being a teacher. And one thing I did like about the Star Tribune story is they laid out the problem fairly cleanly. You have not only kids who, because of this third year now of dealing in a pandemic situation, especially with entire last school year within that, that the academic levels of a lot of kids is tracking behind, as well as also the social aptitude of the children are in some cases 2 years behind where they should be. And mm-hmm. and this is creating quite a bit. Let's talk a little bit about, obviously, the education element of it within the classroom is very easy to understand, but talk a little bit about the social element of that, because that's obviously something that's got to be quite concerning for teachers as they're trying to deal with these kids and get them ready for that next stage.
For sure. You know, educators are really concerned about social and emotional being. They know that they want their students to be as healthy as possible, mind and body, and that's how they're going to learn better. So that should be the focus. And, you know, educators are concerned about their own mental health. They need to be at their very best so that they can be the best educator that they can be. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is that we have many districts who are saying, you know, let's focus on the kids. Let's build those relationships. Let's make sure that we're connecting with the children and knowing where they're at. Yet, we're finding that there's not a lot of time provided to do that, not enough staff to be able to do that. You know, we were already short on counselors and social workers even before the pandemic. And these are the kinds of people that we need in our schools now more than ever. But it's as business as usual, as you noted. You know, we have first graders who spent kindergarten online. We have ninth graders who never went through eighth grade in a brick-and-mortar school. So we can't pretend that a year didn't happen, and yet we're finding that it's kind of like business as usual. Quick open the books, get everybody caught up. We've got tests coming up in the spring, and let's just go, go, go. And it's incredibly frustrating.
One of the things which I find to be interesting is, and I was, you know, I was a parent volunteer with my kids' PTO. I was president of the PTO in elementary school 1 year. And one of the things you learn very quickly is that there is no universal standard, and that you know, some parents are fantastic. They're working with their kids. Some parents don't really do that much. And there is also another thing which when I've talked to teachers, which has been an incredible concern, is this. As you talk about that three-year gap now, third school year that the pandemic's been involved, and you have this now stretch of students within one classroom where you always had some A students and maybe some, you know, C or D students within the classroom, but now it's, oh, no, we have kids now who clearly really hadn't learned anything from last year, so I've got kids from two that basically are an education standard from 2 years previous. Versus some kids who are great, whose parents have you know, been working with them, they're up to speed, and so that gap of educational aptitude as well is just getting wider and wider.
Well, and I think that the the vacancies and the staffing shortages that we're seeing in our schools isn't helping any of that. You know, when you have education positions, whether they're teacher or paraprofessional, that go unfilled, that just means that, you know, the work is being spread out over, you know, fewer people. For example, if you've got a substitute that can't come in to cover for a teacher's class, you have other teachers filling in those holes or taking on those students. So that just means that the teachers then aren't spending their time on their own kids or their own lesson plans or being able to do their own work. So at the end of the day, you just have people stretched too thin, not being able to attend to, you know, the students or the work that they're trying to do. And we're essentially driving people out of the profession.
Mm-hmm. We also are kind of skipping past the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's still a pandemic, too. And regardless of whatever your profession is, going into a work environment is somewhat stressful still. We are still seeing surging numbers here in the state. And as any teacher will tell you, you get into a classroom environment. It's kind of a super spreader event sometimes, depending on the regional cold or flu or you know cough that's going around. So there is that concern. You know, it, quite tragically, in just we've had a tremendous amount of loss of staff this school year already. I think what was it? Is it 12 people so far have died? Teachers and academic administrators have died in schools since this pandemic began?
Well, what's scary to me is we have more educators who have unfortunately passed away in just these first 2.5 months of the school year as we did all last year. You know, we know more about COVID now than we did back then. You know, vaccines are available. We know what works, the masking, the social distancing, washing hands, and, you know, when needed, quarantining or closing down for a while so that we can, you know, make sure that everybody is healthy. So I guess it just boggles my mind that we know so much now and we still have, you know, people dying from COVID. So we have to do this better. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, stretching people to the point of exhaustion or, you know, asking people to come in when they're sick because they can't, you know, cover their classes, there aren't any substitutes, is not doing anybody any good. And I would say a big difference this year than last year is that last year, you know, every school district had a plan. You know, it's, times were different. There were, we had the governor who had emergency powers. We had stronger guidance coming out of the Minnesota Department of Health and the Minnesota Department of Education. But when the legislative session ended and those emergency powers were taken out of the equation here, it has kind of become the wild, wild west. There are some school districts without plans. There are, you know, places in the state where, you know, educators are not quite sure what the school is looking for or when they will have to make any changes. You know, who is really paying attention to that? Lack of planning, lack of a plan is causing some anxiety.
And this was something that was kind of known when the governor gave up his emergency powers, is that then you are basically dependent on the individual school district to have the plan. Some school districts, fantastic. They've led the way. Other school districts, not as well. Can I ask you something? You'd said something. I want to follow up on it. As hard as this is to believe, I know you might not have the exact numbers of this, but how common is the sick teacher getting called back into school to teach while sick because they can't find a replacement for their class for that day?
Well, you know, I don't have the numbers myself, but it is common when, like, let's just say maybe somebody is homesick with their own child, or maybe they have a doctor appointment, or they're home for a personal situation. I do know educators who have been called by their administrator to say, Are you sure you can't come in? Is there any way, you know, you can take care of whatever it is that you're taking care of and come back? There are just not enough substitutes or bodies to fill in all of the spots. That is how desperate we're at right now.
Denise Specht is joining us, of course, president of Education Minnesota. Denise, let's get to the ugliness of this. This has also come with a fairly aggressive, community standard in some cases, where, teachers have been yelled at, teachers have been threatened, teachers have been screamed at by parents because, God forbid, they're requiring a kid to wear a mask in the classroom, or, they're, kind of encouraging vaccination. That obviously as well, and I know that's something that's hit the school boards quite a bit, but in regards to it, there have been stories where teachers themselves are getting yelled at. This hyper-aggressive society we're living in right now, that's also playing a role, I think, and it was always there. I mean, I have friends who work out in rural Minnesota, and before the pandemic, we're talking about how they were vilified by the conservatives out in rural Minnesota as liberal promotions and stuff like this, even like the third or fourth graders. And then when they decide to leave those schools, they were like, why are you leaving? It's like, well, because of you. You've not been very welcoming. But that was before the pandemic. That as well has got to be playing a large role in the frustration and somewhat near depression that some of these teachers are experiencing right now.
It is definitely a polarizing environment in some places. You know, we're seeing teachers, paraprofessionals, bus drivers being blamed for schools being closed last year. You know, it wasn't them. It was actually COVID that closed schools. Let's be clear here. We have, as you said, educators being blamed for masking requirements, demands to see their lesson plans, to be able to see every single book in their classroom library, to know what is in their curriculum. Tell me if you are going to be teaching about race or equity. There are a lot of other things happening besides all of the other demands of the job, catching kids up, making sure that they're okay after COVID, trying to teach, even though you might have other classes, students in your rooms because they couldn't find a sub for them. It is becoming very demanding, exhausting, stressful. And all of these things are driving people out of the profession. My worry is that if we don't pay attention and listen to the educators, don't have to listen to me, talk to any of them. I hear this all over the state. If we don't listen to the educators, I'm worried that we're not going to have enough of them, and our kids deserve better.
What's interesting, this final question for you on this, is this somewhat of an apex, a pinnacle of the continuing trend? When I was a kid and I was in school, I'm 53 years old. When I was a kid in school, my parents basically let me know, teacher's always right, you're going to be wrong, just deal with it. And today, it's and there's nothing wrong with, having more discussion about, certain things. But now there's a standard where if something goes wrong in the class, a kid fails a test, a kid fails a grade, that it's the teacher's fault. It's not the student. It's not the parents. It's not anyone else. There has been this shift of blame that's happened. I got to believe as well that this has been, it seems to be almost, this is the perfect storm, but this has been a storm that's been coming. We've seen this as the teachers have become more and more vilified over the years.
Yeah, it has been happening over time. All of this is leading to a lot of stress. I guess I would say that what we're seeing in some places is very intentional. The critical race theory and the outside money, the wealthy billionaires who are funding these anti-CRT conversations all around the state, I do believe this is part of a bigger agenda. Whether it's political, that's one thing. I think, they're trying to stir up their base and they're going to keep that going all the way through election 2022. But there is an effort to dismantle public education and to privatize and monetize the work that is going on in our public schools. So I don't want to sound like a overly dramatic here, but I do believe that a lot of this is very intentional.
Yeah, I would make an argument too. I will agree with that. But and you and I could go on a nice long conversation from that point. But I know you're busy. You have your busy schedule. Bless your organization, the teachers of the state. I said this before at the beginning of the show. Outside of doctors and nurses, I don't know of a group of professionals that have been under a larger amount of stress this year than the teachers have. Bless you all. You guys, I think, are doing a magnificent job. And you know, I think everyone should go out there and thank their kids' teachers today, because that's not something that's happening nearly enough in this state as we speak.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Today starts American Education Week, actually. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate American Education Week than to reach out to an educator that you know, your own children's educators, and check in with them, see what they're doing, and see what they need. I think that it would be greatly appreciated.
Denise Specht, once again, it's the Education Minnesota. She's the president over there. Thank you so very much for the time.